I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
The buzzer sounds.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
And Bama ain't good.
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
The Colgate Raiders are the kings of the Patriot League.
The Illini celebrate.
Clark Kellogg's here on The Rich Eisen Show.
Once you get there, you better strap it on and play, because whoever's in front of you typically can beat you if you don't perform.
Today's guest, ESPN college basketball analyst Jay Billis, host of Peacock's Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio, Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner, and now it's Rich Eisen.
Well, happy Monday, everybody. Happy Monday, one and all, right here on The Rich Eisen Show in Los Angeles, California. I am your humble host, Rich Eisen. That's the name of the show. It's a big day. It's a big day, certainly in the world of the NFL. Free agency with the so-called, don't call it tampering, but tampering window opens up as everybody in the NFL kind of laughs like nobody's talked to one another before this window opens up today. But that's what's going down today. I've got double duty. I'll be doing this three-hour show, and then as soon as it's all over, I'll be on NFL Network's Free Agency Frenzy show right from this chair.
Oh, nice.
And I'll be talking with our third-hour guest, Kurt Warner. So our chat in the third hour of this program with Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner is kind of like a little bit of a pre-interview for that particular part of the broadcast. Also, we've got brackets. We've got brackets. We've got bracketology all completed. And to talk about that is my buddy Jay Billis joining us in about 19 minutes' time. Mike Florio as well on everything going on in the NFL. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman.
Hey, buddy,
how are
what's
you, sir?
Man?
Good to see you, Mike Del Tufo.
Trying to stay dry.
My social media grandmaster, TJ Jefferson, in his chair as well, getting set for our fun and frolic of this three-hour program. Hanging in there. Thanks, everybody. So we were wondering what gives. What gives on the fact that we're all expecting Drew Brees to be retired. We're all expecting him to no longer play football, but he's shoving sleds with weights on him as if he's thinking of coming back, and all that video is being put out there. And we're like, well, if it's a done deal and if he's slashed his salary down to about $1 million to clear space for his team, and that is the indication that he's not playing football anymore, what gives? Why wait? Well, the man is he's got a little bit of the – I guess, tip of the cap to the history in him. He's got a little bit of nostalgia in him. He's got a little bit of the dramatic in him. He was waiting, it seems, for the 15-year anniversary of his announcement as the new quarterback of the New Orleans Saints. Chose the same day, 15 years after he was introduced as the quarterback of the New Orleans Saints, attached at the hip with their new coach at the time, Sean Payton. He announces his retirement, and then he does it in fashion that, I'll be honest with you, leaves me hearing some footsteps. I'll describe that after, in case you missed his announcement on Instagram. Go for it.
In 20 years in the NFL,
our dad
is finally going to retire.
So we can spend more time with us.
Yay!
All right, there you go. His four adorable children announcing his retirement from the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And he's clearly now in his next act, coming for my title of best dad ever. And I'm feeling the footsteps. I would be genuinely concerned if he's coming for my title of best dad ever if he didn't already also announce today on the two-day show his next act, which we were all assuming he's joining NBC Sports. So we look forward to seeing him on NBC Sports on Peacock. The rumors of all this possibility of a second act with NBC Sports is true. He's going to be in the booth for Notre Dame football. He's going to be in the studio for Football Night in America and also be part of other special events for NBC Sports. Drew Brees beginning his second career as a broadcaster. So, congratulations to Drew Brees making this announcement that he is retiring from football. And he is, as we all know, but needs to be mentioned here, now that he has played his last down in the National Football League, one of the greatest of all time. He retires with a whole slew of NFL records. He retires as the all-time passing leader. He is a Super Bowl champion. He is the only quarterback with multiple 5,000-yard seasons. Only one. Everybody else has had a 5,000-yard season. It was just once and then never again. He did it five times. Most consecutive games of the passing touchdown, led the NFL in passing seven times. That's the most of all time. He won Offensive Player of the Year twice. Pro Bowler 13 times. A baker's dozen of Pro Bowls. Walter Payton Man of the Year Award, which is that patch that's on the upper left part of his jersey that is maybe the most special patch in all of sports. We could go on and on and on and on. But here is, here's also a first that I don't think you're going to see anywhere, or it's not a first, it's happened before, but he retires in a select group of individuals. He retires the all-time passing yards leader. Now, Brady's about 1,000 yards and change behind him. We all know Tom is not only going to play next year, he has a contract to play as a 45-year-old starting quarterback, and then maybe even beyond if he wants to do that for Tampa, and that's obviously down the road. Brady is going to eclipse Breeze, barring anything totally unforeseen in this category, but he retires the all-time passing yards leader, which is part of a select group. Here are the following quarterbacks that have retired as all-time passing yard leaders. Peyton Manning, yep, who we all know Breeze surpassed. Favre.
Yep.
Marino. Fran Tarkenton. Johnny Unitas. And Y.A. Tittle. And I'm sure Tittle broke somebody's record. I decided not to go further back than that. But I think you get the point.
Right.
Tittle retired when LBJ was president. Then Unitas topped him. Tarkenton topped Unitas. Marino passed Tarkenton. Favre passed for Marino. Peyton passed Favre. And now Drew Brees has this distinction as retiring the all-time passing yards leader in the NFL. And that is something else.
It is.
Certainly based on the other reasons why Breeze is a unicorn. And Breeze is somebody, I mean, again, we could go over and over. I could spend the next 15 minutes with all of his records and accolades and numbers in that regard. And the Hall of Fame, you have to be able to tell the story of football without this person to keep somebody out of the Hall of Fame, right? And obviously all those statistics and records, you can't tell the story of the NFL without Drew Brees, number 9. And you certainly can't tell the story of New Orleans football without Drew Brees. And this may be the most special aspect of Drew Brees' career. Name me somebody else who is totally synonymous with the town in which he earned his Hall of Fame stripes. Name somebody who spent 15 years in that place and wasn't drafted by that team. Ooh. I am hard-pressed to think of anybody else. Hard-pressed to think of anybody else. Mm-hmm. Wasn't drafted by the team. And I know I already reading your lips over there, Mike, about Eli Manning, and I'll say this already for all the trolls out there with you spending time trolling on the host off microphone. Actually wasn't drafted by the team, and the team that he played for, that he was drafted by, he actually played for, and he spent a considerable amount of time.
Well, how long was Big Pop? Are we just talking the NFL?
We're talking about the NFL, because Steve Young could be part of this group too, but he was drafted by the team that we all know was Tampa, but he also played in the USFL. Steve Young might be the only person that could be considered in this regard.
Is Steve Young synonymous with San Francisco, though, like Breezes?
I think his career is synonymous with the town, but obviously there's Montana there. Yeah. And you could also say Archie Manning has a special place there for various reasons.
But Brett Favre was a Falcon.
Yeah. Right. I guess that's true, too.
Yeah, man.
That's true, too. So then I'll top it one more time here. That he absolutely, and Favre might be an excellent analogy here. He absolutely got completely waylaid in his career. Not just by the team no longer believing in him, but getting hurt. Think about how many people could rebound from the way Drew Brees' career started to become what Drew Brees retires as. It is truly remarkable. And Young might be in that category too, because he had to battle the shadow of Montana and what have you, and he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, as Brees is going to be. But don't forget, Brees was drafted in the second round because, again, of his height.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which we can put a pin in that conversation, part of the conversation, and I'll unpin it in a couple minutes. He goes there. He starts behind Doug Flutie. Plays only in one game because Flutie gets concussed, doesn't start until his second year, and goes 8-8, gets a shot the next year, starts 1-7, and is benched for Flutie again. In week 15 hits, he gets the job back, and the record that is posted by the Chargers that year earns them a top 10 drafting spot, and that's how Philip Rivers came there. Okay. As we all know, San Diego was drafting first overall. They chose Eli and swapped him out for Philip Rivers. And even though Philip is there, Drew Brees, after Philip Rivers gets drafted, goes 12-4. The Chargers win their first AFC West title in 10 years. They go to the playoffs, lose to the Jets in overtime. And I remember that because that was my first postseason working for NFL Network. That was the first one in 04. We came on the air in 2003. And then he gets franchise tagged the next year, which is amazing. That the Chargers put all this money in Philip, who held out, by the way, right, which is part of the reason why Brees was still the starting quarterback there. And he takes that opportunity, wins the division. He gets franchise tagged, and you want to talk about a different time, for $8 million. And then he starts that year over Philip and then blows out his shoulder in the last game of the year and goes into free agency with a surgically repaired shoulder. And that's how he winds up in New Orleans, and the rest is history. How many people can tell that story? It is truly, truly unlike any other football story that makes Brees that much more special, with the one, if you will, last opportunity with a surgically repaired shoulder in a town that's wiped off the map by a hurricane. He says, I am now a New Orleans guy. I'm a New Orleanian. And I am going to take the Saints to the promised land, set every damn record for quarterbacks, and then join Peyton, Favre, Marino, Tarkenton, Unitas, and Tittle, among others, as those to retire as the all-time passing yards leader. And then we'll just quickly unpin this. And he does it, barely able to see over the line of scrimmage. Right. Honestly. Now, Flutie might have led to Brees being drafted, because if you want to have a quarterback who's similar to the guy that's currently starting, let's not forget Doug Flutie's potential influence. But we're not batting an eyelash over Russell Wilson succeeding anymore. We didn't,
Baker Mayfield
Kyler is another Murray. One. You could go on and on and on. Yeah. They're now first overall selected quarterbacks at this position due to the height. Now, you could say Russell led to the others as well, but Brees may have led to Russell getting a shot in Seattle. And there's other circumstances, obviously, with Pete Carroll starting people who always compete. But Brees' imprint and footprint and fingerprint, all sorts of prints, have been left on the NFL, and certainly in the town of New Orleans, where he is, as a native Texan by way of Indiana and Purdue. He only got offered by Purdue and Kentucky. That's it. Goes to Purdue, sets records there, goes to San Diego, overcomes a ton, including a torn up shoulder, to go to New Orleans and become a de facto native son of that city and build what he has built. which is a remarkable legacy, and that's how I tip the cap to Drew Brees. We'll talk about it with Kurt Warner in hour number three.
And Rich, it could have been the Dolphins.
Could have been, but Nick Saban, of all people, chose Dante Culpepper and his balky knee over the shoulder that was balky of Drew Brees. And there you go.
And you talk about being synonymous with the city of New Orleans. Did announce on the Today Show and the IG post, going to stay in New Orleans. He's going to stay in town.
Kids must love the school there. They must love there. His charity work is second to none.
Yep.
That's why he's got that Walter Payton Man of the Year patch, which could be his greatest achievement in the NFL. It always is for anybody. And Kurt Warner is part of that group. One of the many reasons to have him on in hour number three. And we've got brackets. We've got brackets.
Brackets.
So, Syracuse.
Oh, baby. I thought we were going to get a play-in game.
And what'd you get?
We're playing San Diego State.
There you go.
Let's go, baby.
San Diego State.
Kawhi is pumped for this match.
I'm sure. He's eating his apples, getting ready. My alma mater's a one seed despite losing three of our last five. How about that?
Joe Lenardi did say he would be shocked if the four number ones changed.
So Michigan taking on the winner of Texas Southern Mount St. Mary's. Michigan Mount St. Mary's, as you know, the year after they won the national championship, it was Mount St. Mary's that bounced them.
Oh.
If you remember that back in the day. So Michigan, Mount St. Mary's, and good times on all that front. So 1-6, it'll be 1-16. Michigan and the other one seeds Gonzaga, Baylor, and Illinois, which
tough
is a dynamite red hot team coming tough into this tournament.
Yeah.
So Jay Billis will join us. Let's take a break and we'll get things set up with Jay Billis, who is one of the best of the best. Mike Florio, Kurt Warner, and you here on this Sprung Forward edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. Jay Billis will be joining us shortly here on the program. I'm a little concerned about my alma mater coming into this tournament with a little bit less than, a little bit banged up, and not winning the Big Ten championship. Losing to Ohio State like that was not a lot of fun.
No.
Getting blown out in the second half and then almost winning. Did you see how they almost came back in that one? So a little concerned about that, to say the least.
It could be a good thing. Now you got a chance to refocus. Got a whole week to kind of think about it, stew on it, let that motivate you.
That's why I wanted you to post the video of me having fun at the expense of Michigan State by MSU Spartans presented by Rocket Mortgage before the game. I did, in fact, text you that on Saturday.
Before.
I know. Let's go to the phone lines here. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Brock in Missouri, you're first up here on the Rich Eisen Show here on a busy Monday. What's up, Brock?
Hey, guys. Great show. Love you on Peacock.
Thank you, sir. Love that you love us there. Thank you.
Hey, possible trivia question or tidbit of knowledge that you could throw out to your boys.
Yes, sir.
Sometime is Drew Brees, the only quarterback, future Hall of Famer that we know of, that has jumped on the back of an alligator with Bear Grylls and killed it.
Okay. All right.
I would say yes.
Okay. Yeah, very good.
Probably true.
Very good. Thank you very much. There we go. That's Brock in Missouri, everybody. Oh, my gosh.
I can see Gardner Minshew doing it.
Wait, I'm looking this up. Is that a real thing? He did.
How about that?
2016.
So one of the first monster free agent signings of the NFL free agency period just happened. Shaq Barrett has hit it. Four-year deal worth $72 million, including $36 million fully guaranteed. And that is what Drew Rosenhaus has told ESPN, according to Adam Schefter.
Staying in Tampa.
Now, I'll tell you what, man. Normally I say that about the Raiders. Shaq Barrett was on the Broncos. And he was, because we have focused totally on last year's free agency period in terms of the Buccaneers building their championship team, what with Brady and Gronk and Leonard Fournette and Antonio Brown all being added. Yep. And, you know, obviously that was some of them throughout the season. But the Shaq Barrett signing for Tampa came two free agent periods ago. He was just a guy who had a big upside with a lot of talent from Denver. He was on the Broncos.
I remember that.
And he was on the Broncos, and he was learning at the side of Von Miller, and the Broncos couldn't keep him. And the Bucs brought him in. And if you remember, he had a remarkable season 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And then last year earned a franchise tag, and now he has hit it. As the Bucs are trying to keep all of their championship pieces together. So we'll keep an eye on all of that as Mike Florio joins us in hour number two and my buddy from the worldwide leader in sports with brackets. We've got brackets back here on the Rich Eisen Show is Jay Billis. How are you, Jay?
I'm doing great, Rich. How are you?
I am loving the fact that it's the first time in 2 years I've had brackets in my hands, so that's terrific. I'm enjoying that.
That is a good thing.
I know.
That is a good thing.
I know that. So what's your impressions of what you have in your hands, and what do you think deserves spotlighting, Jay Billis?
Well, first of all, you have no idea what I have in my hands right now.
Hey now! Other than a phone. Okay, unless your hand's free, but... Very good. Okay.
I thought the bracket was pretty balanced, honestly. There was not a whole lot of griping going on. Part of that might be that we're so grateful to have the tournament back.
Yes.
That we're not taking a swing at the committee indiscriminately trying to knock them out. But the other part, I think, is that they did a good job. Usually you can look at the regions and say, well, this is the hardest region by far, and this team got a break. And I didn't feel that way about any of the regions. And honestly, Rich, I didn't feel that any of the teams that got left out got screwed. Most of them just weren't all that good. I mean, Louisville could make a pretty good case because I think COVID derailed them more than anything.
Right.
But honestly, I didn't feel like a bunch of these teams got a job. And, you know, every year it feels that way, and it didn't feel that way this year. So overall, I think the committee did a pretty good job. Maybe it was the distancing that did it. That they couldn't talk one another into bed.
Okay, so we can actually say there is a benefit to not being in the same room. I dig that. What did you think of the one seeds? I mean, I guess are we talking chalk here? That's what we all expected to get the one seeds the way that it all went down, despite my alma mater losing a couple of their last three games? What do you think?
Yeah, those were no-brainers. You know, the only question mark you had was how would they treat Michigan with Isaiah Livers out, but my sense is with this sort of stress reaction thing that there's a good chance he'll be back. If he's not back, they're still very good, but they're not elite offensively. They're just very good offensively. Like they could have won, you know, they could have beaten one in the tournament, the Big Ten tournament without him, but they had a shot to win against Ohio State at the end. But with him, they're elite on the offensive end, but they got a pretty difficult draw to play without him. If they wind up, it's going to be a really good 8-9 game between St. Bonaventure and LSU. If they wind up going against LSU, LSU's got some athletes, man, and they are actually starting to guard people. That was the problem early in the year. They didn't guard anybody, and they got beat several times by teams that shouldn't have beat them. But they're playing now, and they've got NBA talent. They've got some really good players. Cam Thomas is an NBA player.
So I guess which one seed do you think has the best chance to win if you think the ones are going to make it? I'll give you the floor on that one then.
Yeah, I don't think all the ones are going to make it. That's only happened once in the history of the tournament back in 2008 mm-hmm. when all four number ones made it. So, you know, I think somebody will get tripped up, you know, given that Livers is out. I hate to say this to you, but it's probably Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Gonzaga is the best team, and I think they're going to win it. And they got a great draw. Like they're 2, 3, and 4 seeds in their region in the West. They've already played, and they beat the hell out of each one of them. And two of them are compromised now, Virginia and Kansas. They both had to drop out of their conference tournaments with this COVID stuff. And I don't think them quarantining for a week, both Virginia and Kansas, it may not hurt them that bad, but it ain't going to make them better. So I think Gonzaga's got a, you know, had a good break there.
How do you think the NCAA is handling COVID-19 and that situation, to use your phrase there? What do you think?
Well,
Jay?
Overall, I think everything has been good. I mean, it just goes against what they've always said they're about. I mean, the idea that, you know, remember when the pandemic first hit, you know, they kind of came down with this hoity-toity thing about no students on campus, no college sports. And then they looked at each other and go, wait a minute, if we don't have students on campus, we got to make money here. They said, all right, forget that, no students on campus. Online education means students are technically on campus, therefore we're going to play. And then they said, including the Big Ten commissioner, the Pac-12 commissioner said, we will not play in bubbles. We are not the NBA. We are college sports. And we've kept the players in complete and total isolation during the season. And they're in a very real bubble in Indianapolis now. I don't have any problem with it. But it's pretty odd that the NFL, the NBA, and Major League Baseball can play and let their players go home at night and see their families, but we can't pull this off in college sports. And so I don't particularly care for the choice, the quote unquote choice that's been given to the players of, if you want to play, here's what you're going to do, when the coaches and staff were able to go home to their families all year, and they were the biggest threat to the players getting COVID were the staff. But I get it in the bubble, like, you know, how about this, Rich, the selection committee, nobody in that bubble is allowed out of their hotel unless they are going to the arena. So even the selection committee, they can't leave their hotel, go get a cup of coffee, go on a walk. And could you imagine if one of the, you know, one of those administrators, somebody snaps a picture of them, you know, with a Starbucks cup in their hands, walking without a mask or something, everybody go nuts because the players are being, you know, quarantined this way.
Jay Billis here on the Rich Eisen Show. Also odd, one would say, is that your alma mater, Duke, is not in this tournament. How would you describe their season? I mean, if somebody just came from another planet, knowing what Duke is all about and what it has been all about, certainly on the court and in the classroom, et cetera, so on and so forth. How would you describe Duke's 2020-2021 season, Jay Billis?
Well, I wouldn't have to explain to extraterrestrials Duke or Coach K. I think the entire known universe knows all about Coach K.
Nice.
but I do think that this has been a year where the Duke fans got to feel what it's like to be everybody else. And you know, most teams out there were like Duke. They're good, and they're good on certain days, and they can beat anybody on a given day, but they just don't have that many given days. And they're going to have three-game losing streaks. And Duke experienced what it's like for the rest of the world to be on the bubble. And the fans don't remember that because it hadn't happened in 35 years. And there are different – like Duke and Kentucky had the number one and number two recruiting classes this year. But recruiting classes are different. And there was no Zion. There was no Anthony Davis. There were no players like that that were transformational superstars. Those stars went to Oklahoma State, Cade Cunningham, went to USC, Evan Mobley, went to Gonzaga, Jalen Suggs. So there were one and two because they had a number of good players rather than having superstar talent. And the guys they have are going to be really good. And a number of them are going to play in the NBA. They're just not ready for to be load carriers in the spotlight right this second. And that's been unusual for Duke and Kentucky. But the tournament will go on without them. Everybody will be fine. But I think it's good for the fans to recognize there is a difference between some of these super talents that they've had and guys that are just really, really, really good players.
So why do you think so many others were talking about Duke's business with Jalen Johnson? Jay, what do you think?
Well, I think that whole Jalen Johnson thing, I think became somewhat of a controversy because you had people that were saying they're better off without him as if he was the problem. And he wasn't. Like, when it's funny, Rich, when he was injured and people were going, "What's wrong with Duke?" The first thing everybody said was, "They need Jalen Johnson back."
Yes.
And when he came back, the first game back, he came off the bench. He had 24 points, 15 rebounds, 7 assists, 4 blocks, and 0 turnovers, and they lost by a bucket. And everybody's like, "Man, they got to get the ball to Jalen Johnson more. Jalen Johnson's this." But when he decided to leave and quit, whatever you want to call it, opt out. First of all, when people say my way or the highway, don't be surprised when somebody takes the highway. And that's what college basketball says to these guys. It's my way or the highway. And so he decided to quit. I don't agree with the decision. I think he would have been better off sticking it out. But he kind of got attacked, honestly. And I think it was fine to say, hey, was it the right decision for him to opt out? You know, is that the best for his future? Is that the best for his NBA status? Is that the best for him as a player and a teammate and a person? That's all fair game, and we should discuss that stuff. But when somebody says he was hurting them, come on, man, that's not true. That's just the system saying, hey, if you do this, the rest of you, if you do this, if you opt out of a bowl game, if you decide you're going to opt out here, we're coming after you, and we're coming after your character. And I just think that's wrong.
Jay Billis here on the Rich Eisen Show from the Worldwide Leader in Sports. And before we just finish up with the tournament once again, boy, you were the first person I thought of on Friday. I made a little bit of a meal of this as a Michigan guy, but you were the first person I thought of when I heard read the press release from Michigan State and Rocket Mortgage that the team will be known. It doesn't have to be known and broadcast, but I guess it'll be emblazoned on the court or somewhere in the Breslin Center. MSU Spartans presented by Rocket Mortgage. What did you think of when you heard of that?
I had some fun with it because I think it is really funny, but it's really no big deal. I mean, somebody grabbed that. I think it was Yahoo Sports grabbed that out of the Rocket Mortgage press release.
Yes,
but it's pretty standard stuff about sponsorship and the university making money and all that. You know, it's the same as Nick Saban standing on his podium with a Coca-Cola and a Dasani water in front of him. I didn't get paid for that. I shouldn't have. I should have just said a sponsored beverage. I'm losing money here, Rich.
Jay, come on, Jay. It's all content, Jay. It's all good. Keep going.
But you know, Michigan State was a little sensitive about it at first, but it's really no big deal. We were just having a laugh at the system, not necessarily at them. They were just the ones in the crosshairs for the moment. It'll be somebody else soon, you know, everything is for sale, including the players. And it's kind of laughable at times.
But I've never look as I said on Friday's show that I obviously Under Armour in Maryland and Nike and in Oregon and obscenely rich alums making business deals with their schools and sports programs is nothing new. But presented by that's just something that I think that's what got everyone's attention because it literally sounds like something's brought to you by it's a flat out commercial. You know what I'm saying? Like that might be the difference maker,
Well, it was just the wording of it, and right. because when just even when they have a post game press conference, though, it's the logo of the university and Rocket Mortgage, and that, you know, that happens at Duke, it happens at North Carolina, it happens everywhere. They've got their sponsor behind them, so it's all a big money grab. I don't blame them. The problem isn't the money that they're making or the revenue they're generating. That's all fine. I have zero problem with that. It's that you're cutting out only one segment of the population, that being the athlete. And you know what's funny during the pandemic, Rich, is I was asking, you know, people were saying, yeah, oh, the kid, they keep calling kids. The kids want to play. The kids want to play. I'm like, okay, well, tell me what other student has a university put on an airplane in the past 12 months for a university function? Anyone?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they haven't. You know, this is for money. We're doing this for money. And it's great that the competition is great. It's a great thing for the players. It's a great thing for the coaches. It's a great thing for the broadcasters. It's great. But the world wouldn't spin off its axis if the players made money. And we didn't stop watching the Olympics when they could make money. We don't care how much money Tiger Woods makes. We don't care whether amateur golfers are getting manufacturers' deals for their equipment and their apparel. Nobody cares. And they won't care in college sports. And so, like, I don't know why the NCAA keeps fighting this fight, and they're going to fight it on March 31st before the United States Supreme Court. It just baffles me that we're making this kind of money, and then we're telling the players that if you take an extra sandwich, you know, we're gonna burn you at the stake. It's crazy.
Well, I gotta say, you can do something for me, Jay, because you're in a position to do this, calling games and talking about these games. Is that for a Michigan State player, instead of saying what they're shooting from the field, you could call it an annual percentage rate? You know what I mean? Like, their APR from the field is 50%. Like, that would be fantastic if you did that.
Oh, Jay. I can do that. I can do that in a heartbeat.
That's what I'm saying.
And especially the Rich Eisen Show, brought to you by a Hoopty.
That's it. Here you go. They go, well, you know, I would like to think something a little bit more expensive than that, but I understand where you're going on that.
Well, it can be any car you want. It can be a Maserati. It can be whatever you want.
You know what I mean? Like, if
college Hoopty tonight.
If college Hoopty tonight.
Do you remember that joke?
Of course I do.
I'm still laughing about that. That might have been the funniest thing I'd ever heard.
I do remember that. That's like a 20-year-old reference, which is insane in its own self.
That was the Ray Carruth trial. You were reporting that a witness had said that he had gotten a Hoopty, which is a slang for a car.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had to do a promo for our show next, which at the time was called College Hoops Tonight. And you call it. You said, oh, coming up next,
College Hoopty tonight. You know, I'm sure management cringed when I made that reference, but it's all good. Jay Bill is here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, before I let you go, you picked every game of the tournament on ESPN.com. What are you hoping to hit? What's your hit rate that you're hoping for predicting every game in the NCAA tournament, Jay?
Every year it's 100%. I don't see why it wouldn't be this year, even in the bubble. So, you know, I account for every variable, mm-hmm. so there's never a problem. The only problem there is how it affects the gambling lines, because so many people are going to win.
Okay, so everyone should go check it out. He's a 100%. I feel like now I should give like an 888 number for the lock of the first round with Jay Billis. I feel like I should do that right now.
You look at that, it's like that Back to the Future movie where the guy had the magazine, the future almanac, sports almanac, and he could bet everything because he knew the outcome. You know the outcome now.
I do know that. And as a matter of fact, normally sometimes you would know the outcome, but I also saw on your Twitter feed today at Jay Billis, as I let you go, sir, what one seeds are against 16 seeds in the history of the NCAA tournament, 139-1. You got an interesting response, Jay. To your tweet.
Yeah, UMBC said they hadn't heard that news, and I think they should have just read the paper, because I'm pretty sure it was covered.
Look at that, back and forth. They will dine out on that forevermore.
And they should. It may be the only one ever. Actually, the 16 seeds fared better when they first came onto the radar back in 1985. The games were a lot closer. The margins are much wider now.
139-1 is your final tally going into this tournament. Jay, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's chat. I think you were kind enough to say you will chat with us after the national championship game, so I will chat with you then.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Rich.
You got it. That's Jay Billis right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Love Jay. I can't believe I made that reference. I forgot. Hoopty. Look, that's what that's lawyers awesome. Lawyers remember everything. Everything. You know, I had totally forgotten about that.
That sounds about right, though, on brand for you.
What?
Back in those days?
Making light of one of the most serious trials in the history of sports athletes?
I'm just saying early
in your...
Like a pun,
like a turn
in
a phrase? Early, where, yeah, early
I'm
in
saying
my
early
career.
In your career, a lot of jokes.
They were all jokes.
A lot of jokes.
You turned into a lot there. My hoopty rolling, tailpipe dragon. Heat don't work. Girl, keep nagging.
Here's my favorite throwing a break, okay? In the history of the or tease in a history of throwing a break. I'll just tell this story. I don't care. Dave Soup Campbell. Remember Dave Soup Campbell?
I do.
Okay.
By the way, that Ray Carruth trial in 1999.
Okay. Yeah, it was 3 years into my career. I shouldn't have been joking about it. But anyway, so here's my favorite throwing a break in the history of SportsCenter for a show that's coming up next. As Jay Billis just said, you know, College Hoops Tonight was coming. Oh. Next, and I made a joke about it. So it's Baseball Tonight coming up next. Baseball Tonight was to the right of us on the SportsCenter set. We were all in this small studio back in the day. Okay. So all they did was take the cameras that were focused on SportsCenter and just turn them 90 degrees, and you got a whole new set that way.
Right.
In the same room.
The magic of television.
So Dave Soup Campbell told this story about being a rookie in the Major League Baseball. And then meeting Mickey Mantle for the first time while he was indisposed, to say the least.
Okay.
To use the phrase from That Thing You Do, it would be ungentlemanly of me to comment more about what state that the Mick was in at the time. Okay? So Dan Campbell sits down, and Dan Patrick, throwing a break. I'm doing SportsCenter with Dan. He goes, hey, everybody, coming up next, Baseball Tonight. Soup Campbell's already settled into his seat. He's going to tell everybody his favorite Mickey Mantle story. At which point, Dave Campbell is just writing down in a notebook, and he just holds up his middle finger to Dan just like that. He doesn't look up the entire time. And as I walk off the set, and I say to Dan, I'm like, you know, people are going to be tuning into the entire Baseball Tonight, and by the end they'll say, where was the Mickey Mantle story? And Dan just goes, Well, I learned a lot from Dan Patrick in my days on ESPN.
That's so good. That's great.
Back with what I think is one of the best signings already of free agency in the NFL. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. Because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, we just saw Chris Brockman through the years wearing clown makeup, which is the punishment for finishing DFL in the Rich Eisen Show NCAA tournament office pool.
More impressive feat, Buffalo losing four straight Super Bowls or me losing four straight March Madness contests?
I think it's clearly you, even though it's tough to make four straight Super Bowls. To finish last four straight years in an NCAA tournament pool. Ugh. certainly when your Syracuse Orange were much better than this year.
Much
okay.
Better.
So my children, though, Zan was in 1 year and beat us all. And now he wants back in. Remarkably, as ESPN.com sent me an email to remind me, hey, let's get you back in the pool here. He got 75% of his 2019 bracket correct as a 10-year-old, watching none of college basketball except hearing about it. So beware the fact that my youngest son, who is far more attuned, he wants in. And then my daughter, Taylor, who will probably utilize what Joe Lenardi, the bracketologist, mentioned on Friday, choosing all the dog names of schools.
Yep.
She would have nailed UMBC because it's a dog name. She would have nailed that upset. She wants in. So we're going to have to do it.
All right. So we got
okay,
to do something.
We got to do it. Maybe we have an extra day to figure it all out, I guess.
Something.
Because the
I'm out.
Round, no, you're not out.
I'm out. Yeah, I'm out. You got somebody's going to fill my bracket out then. I haven't watched anything. I haven't watched college basketball.
Well, it's all good. Flip a coin and do
flip
it.
Flip a coin.
Nope.
Or just look at Jay Billis. He said 100% of his choices for all the games. For he says they're 100% accurate.
So you photocopy Jay's. That's my pick.
Well, you copied all your work off in school. So
Nothing new there, Mike.
So Shaq Barrett signed a monster contract today with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. There was a signing over the weekend that I thought was imperative. It was imperative for the team to do it, and I'm glad that they did do it. And he's one of our favorite people. That's another reason why I thought it was imperative, even though, you know, NFL teams don't really care sometimes deep down that somebody's been so terrific and that they drafted him and he made the most of an opportunity. It does count for something, but when you're actually figuring out the puzzle piece of a salary cap, certainly in a year that it contracts, which never happens, these things might not happen, even though it's good news. Aaron Jones, reportedly, the deal is 4 years, $48 million for a running back that was drafted in 2017. That's a nice contract for a running back in this day and age where, you know, he's the proof positive that you can win football games with. And you could do that again in 2021 in this draft, right? Look at what the Los Angeles Rams are going to come into next year with Cam Akers, just for as an example, right? But this kid drafted out of UTEP, he became the lowest drafted running back for the Packers to make a Pro Bowl since Dorsey Levens in 1997.
Ooh.
But most importantly for me, with the fact that he is so dynamite coming out of the backfield, not only running it, but matchup nightmare. This is a wheel route nightmare, okay? This is a just go out in the flat nightmare. And Matt LaFleur knows how to use him. But if your quarterback is all kumbaya and saying he's been working on his chi and is all meditative and all contemplative and all copacetic, I know I just used three words that might cause you to look it up, but he said on this show, Aaron Rodgers, that he was working on his meditation and working on himself and his mindset. And despite all of that, brought up his future after losing the NFC Championship game and wondering if the guy across the way in Tom Brady has it better because he is being listened to the most by his coaching staff and certainly front office is building for the now because of this guy's closing window, whenever the hell Brady decides it's closed. If he's thinking that and you let Aaron Jones walk, and Aaron Rodgers has been on this show talking about Aaron Jones in ways that you don't hear him talk about many others, got to get that done. Certainly when you don't franchise tag him and you're like, uh-oh, that's no safety net there, and then you do get it done long-term, kudos to the Packers. Well done. That kid is awesome. And you have drafted him and you have homegrown him in your system. And now go to work. Go to work and give this guy the rock.
So the Pack drafted two players last year, quarterback and running back, that they essentially don't need. Now you know why Rodgers was upset.
But you also have got Aaron Jones. And A.J. Dillon was needed. You know, you never know when you're going to need him. You need depth at that position. Yeah. So I'll push back on that a little bit. Mike Florio here on the Rich Eisen Show coming up.